So faith is not about us, it's about the Lord. God does everything that he needs to do, and then that relationship begins when we're born again, and the root of salvation takes place in our hearts when we say yes by faith. But as we follow the Lord, he will create in us and he will birth in us fruit. What is that fruit? There are three main types of fruit that the Bible talks about that will be produced. Internally, we will have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of our character, which is not about us becoming better and better individually, but allowing God to transform us from the inside out so that we start to reflect Christ's character. And so when the Apostle Paul gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, he says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, unconditional love. It's not human love. Selfless God love. It can only come from the Lord. We have to open our hearts to it. Joy. We can't have true joy without God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is based on your circumstances. Joy is not based on your circumstances. Joy is based on your relationship with the living God, knowing that even in the darkest time, even when the circumstances are bad, God's going to see you through. He's got your back. That's joy. Peace. Jesus says, "Peace I give to you, not the world's peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. Patience. Lord knows we all need patience, right? You know why we need patience? Not only because it's a reminder that we need to keep self in order, but it's a reminder that God's will to accomplish his stuff in our lives for our best takes time. Takes time. Kindness. It's our attitude and approach to other people. Gentleness or meekness. It's not weakness. It's just, hey, it's not about me. Not bringing attention to myself, but still doing the Lord's work. Self-control. You see, we all need that. But self-control simply will not come by you self saying, I need to be more and more in control. You're going to fail. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It reflects our character. That's the inward fruit. The outward fruit is simply good works. The fruit of good works. Jesus said, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not you, but your Father. And if we have that inward fruit and that outward fruit, then we're going to have a third type of fruit in our lives. People are going to see the light of Christ. We are going to be the salt of the earth. And people are going to come into the kingdom because of us. Not because of us in and of ourselves, but because of what God is doing in and through us. Hence, the fruit. That shows us that the true root has taken place. You see, there is no contradiction here. Two sides of the same coin. Jesus highlights this in his famous teaching, included John 15, where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me, remain in me, and I in you, that's a relationship. You will bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of good works, the fruit of bringing others into the kingdom. You will prove that you are my disciples. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That means any good that we do apart from Christ is really ultimately ineffective. And these atheists who say, well, I can be a very good, selfless person and help others. Well, you know what? You can. Good for you. But at the end of the day, who's going to get the credit if you don't give credit to God? You are. Oh, let us not boast in our works. Let us not boast in chariots. Let us not boast in riches. But let us boast in the name of the Lord, the only one who can save us, the only one through which we receive grace and mercy. And we see the same example from the Samaritan woman at the well in our gospel reading from John chapter 4. It's an amazing, amazing account. There's so much there, and we don't have time for me to unpack it in detail, but I just use it as a great example of faith in action. Because remember, faith has three components. We believe in our mind. We acknowledge it. Yes, Lord. But then we have to have an attitude of trust. We have to have a decision in our heart to say, I'm going to follow. And then we have to put it into action in our bodies and how we live our lives. Faith is belief, trust, action. That's the full fruition of true faith. Anything else will not do. And so we have the Samaritan woman. And what's interesting about the Samaritan woman, I actually first start with the Lord. The Lord, who is Jewish in his earthly body, is talking to a Samaritan, which would be taboo for Jews. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans because they looked down upon them as heretics, as those who do believe in Yahweh, but they have integrated other pagan beliefs as a result of when northern Israel was conquered by the Assyrians. So it was a mixed people. Plus, he was a man talking to a woman. That's why the Samaritan woman said, why, you being a Jew, are you talking to me, a Samaritan woman? And then Jesus said, hey, if you knew who was talking to you and asking you to give him a drink, you'd actually be asking him. And so that starts the conversation. And they go back and forth. And what we learn about the Samaritan woman is that she was familiar with the scriptures. They use the first five books of the Hebrew scriptures, our Old Testament, as their word of God. They were looking for the Messiah. So she understood a lot, but yet she fell short. Her understanding wasn't complete because she was thinking that Mount Gerizim, their place of worship where they had their own little temple, that was the place. And Jesus reminds her, no, it's still Jerusalem. But ultimately, it's not about where you're worshiping from. It's who you're worshiping. And who are you worshiping? Is it the God, the one true God? For the Father desires those who worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the woman opens up her heart. She's willing to listen to the word. She's willing to consider Jesus as the Messiah. And equally important, she is humble. She confesses her sin. She acknowledges that she's living with a man that she is not married with. She's not sugarcoating things. She's not trying to justify herself. She is coming humbly before the Lord. And then she not only recognizes who Jesus is, she says yes to Jesus. She trusts him as her Lord and Savior. And then she puts her faith into action, because what do we read at the end of the account? She then goes to the others in the village and she testifies about Christ, that he is the Messiah. And simply because of her testimony and the fact that Jesus knew her about her life before even knowing her personally, many come to know Jesus. And then that sets the stage for others to come and follow up as Jesus spends 2 days there and the church in Samaria is born. Faith in action. Now here at St. Bartholomew's, we want to have a faith that works, right? We want to put our faith in action. And that doesn't mean just as individuals, that means corporately as a body of Christ. That's why we have looked at what our vision is. That's why we have developed a mission. That's why we have been talking about setting up strategy teams. Remember, there's 7 of them. Isn't that neat? That's a complete number. We started with 4, we went to 5, and then we went to 7. Now, of course, I look at it, I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm going to be honest with you, because that's not an easy endeavor to establish 7 strategy teams that do reflect our mission, but we're kind of starting from scratch in some respects. But the good news is a lot of people have expressed interest. A lot of people are willing to explore what it means to be on these teams, and we have already formed a prayer team. That's the most important thing. We have a communications team. That's important to get the word out. We had a lot of people sign up for an outreach team, to be on the outreach team. And again, what are the purposes of these strategy teams? To meet and to strategize, to think about what are ways that we can get better in these areas? What are ways that we can improve? What ideas should be lifted up? Not that we're going to accept every idea. It's a way to get people going so that we become a body of Christ that is effectively ministering and firing on all cylinders. And more importantly, if anything were to happen to myself, to Father Mollison, to the leadership here in terms of the ordained leadership, that there's a vital, solid lay leadership, which we do have in the vestry, but the vestry can't do it all, a vital, solid lay leadership that knows what the mission is about and knows our vision and keeps that in the forefront and is able to keep moving on. God forbid that we become too dependent on whoever is the leader of the faith community. That's what sometimes happens in churches when there's too much emphasis on one person. That's the dangerous thing. We want to always fight against that. Not that we don't honor that, not that the leadership's important, but it's not all about a few people. It's about everybody doing the work of ministry. And so if you're interested and you haven't signed up yet, let me know. Don't forget, we've got the welcoming team, parish life team, worship team, biblical study strategy team, in addition to the communication, prayer, and outreach teams. Now, some of you say, well, Father Ward, I gave you my name, and I haven't heard from you. Well, it's going to take some time. And we're going to focus first on the outreach team, in addition to the prayer and communication. So some of these others are important, but you know, outreach is one of the areas where I think we're the weakest in, personally. But anyhow, many of you are already involved, and that's good. I'm not taking away from that. Some of you are not involved. You're not involved in A or B, and that's something I need you to think about. How can you become involved? But you need to understand that it's not just about being involved in the life of the ministry of the church itself. It's also how are we effective? How is our faith demonstrated in action outside these four walls in the community? Everyone here has relationships. Are you praying for those in your family that don't know the Lord? Are you praying for opportunities to bear witness to Christ? You don't have to be a major evangelist. There are ways you can encourage people. You can let people know, hey, I'm praying for you, or do you have something I can pray for you? You can give an encouraging word. If someone is going to a church, encourage them that way. If they're looking for a church, let them know about St. Bart's. You know, there's different little ways we can do things. We don't have to do it all in one shot. It's a process. That's why God calls us to be patient. And then we're also obligated to impact the world. You know, it was wonderful 6 weeks ago to hear from Father Jerry Kramer and his wife Stacy. And if you missed it, you missed powerful stuff, but they'll be back next year. Right now they're in Tanzania working at one of the orphanages they sponsor. And in 2 weeks they're going to be permanently moving to Iraq. And they are testimony of faith and action, and we are now partnering with them. Anglican missionaries, a fellow Anglican priest in our own diocese. Wonderful. This morning, you might know, there's this young guy here. He's dressed up. I know some of you are thinking, who is this guy? His name is Father Brian Wendell, and in closing, I'm going to have him share about the vision God has given him and the call that God has placed on his life. And his wife, Casey, was here with us earlier with their three kids. He recently was ordained in the Anglican Church. He's not in our diocese per se, but he is in our church, the Anglican Church in North America. And he comes back to Buffalo. He's a native of Buffalo, and so he's going to share a little bit with us about that call and the vision God has given him here in Western New York. So I'd like to welcome Father Brian to the pulpit.
It's good to see all of you. The 11 a.m. is a lot more lively than the previous services. So it's good to see all of you. I'm just going to take a few minutes to tell you about an Anglican mission in the city of Buffalo. First, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up just a couple blocks from here on Treadwell. So if you can rewind your memories back 25 years and picture a kid about 2 feet shorter than me rollerblading around your parking lot, that was me. So it's great to see all of you here. I was not a member of St. Bartholomew's. I didn't grow up in an Anglican tradition. But about 10 years ago, my wife and I moved to Washington, D.C., where we've been living since then, since we recently moved back in January. And when we moved there, we kind of just fell into, by accident, dropped into some Anglican churches in Washington, D.C., these churches that we hadn't really expected and that did things in ways that we didn't really know how to follow. But over time, we confessed our sins each week with our neighbors in these beautiful and deep prayers of confession. And we came up and we simply received grace in the Eucharist each week. And we were formed by the liturgy as it impacted our lives and gave us new prayers to pray. And at the same time, not only was this sacramental and liturgical formation going on, but the churches themselves were also deeply missional and personal and evangelical and powerful, doing great works in our neighborhoods and overseas, planting new churches in the area and sending out missionaries. So it was this wonderful combination that many of you have seen, this ideal, I think, of the Anglican style of bringing together the liturgical and sacramental and the personal and evangelical in a deeply powerful way. And so that was a powerful experience for us. And about 5 years ago, through some conversations with some friends who are living back here in the city of Buffalo, my wife and I began to ask the questions, what would it be like if we came back to do some kind of work in Buffalo? And what would it be like if there were more gospel-centered, solid churches doing ministry in Buffalo? And what would it be like if there were some more Orthodox, Anglican, powerful missional churches in the city of Buffalo in this period of revitalization? And what would it be like if that was us? And very quickly we saw and we felt very strongly that that God was calling us to that work. And so since then, we've been moving in that direction. Like I said, we just moved back in January, back to the area, and we are just beginning the process of starting a new Anglican church in the city of Buffalo. So we are just starting to gather some people to find out who's interested. We put on an Ash Wednesday service a couple of weeks ago. There are a couple dozen people there, most of whom had never celebrated Ash Wednesday, never done anything liturgical. For most of the people who are there, we're doing a Lent Bible study down in Allentown area in Symphony Circle. As well as an Easter vigil service that I'll come back to in just a moment. These kind of ways of just getting out there, who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it and looking at and seeing in the city of Buffalo this area that has seen a certain economic and cultural revitalization and saying that is nothing without a spiritual revitalization to accompany it. And so that's what we're doing. That's what we are called to. Maybe you look at that and you think, wow, the city of Buffalo, there's a lot of baggage going on there. And, you know, wow, that's a really tough area. There's not many people going to church in the city of Buffalo right now, whether it's Catholic churches or evangelical or whatever. Like, a lot of churches are pretty empty in the city. I recall back to what the Israelites were saying when they were wondering if God could provide for them in the desert. And one of the things they said was, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can God really spread a table in the wilderness? And the story of those failures of Israel were written down, St. Paul says, for our benefit, so that we might learn from them. And when we know that God can spread a table in the wilderness, spread a feast where there is no food, spread the feast of the kingdom of God where there is no faith. That's what I rely on as I look at a mission field in the city of Buffalo, especially looking at planting an Anglican church in the city of Buffalo. But I would ask you also, what are the wildernesses that God has placed you in? You know, where does it look like people have no spiritual food? And you may have written those things off, those people in your lives, those family members that just don't seem like they're going to turn around, those coworkers, those neighbors who are just never going to do it, those people who maybe have attended church but has not changed them. Who are those people? Who is that wilderness? And if you find yourself wondering, can God really spread a table, the feast of the kingdom of God in a wilderness? He can. He has done it many times. That was the promise of Jesus himself. Jesus will work within us for that purpose. Maybe you are not called to be a church planter, to plant a new church. But you are in a church that needs continual replanting. This church is like a garden that needs to be replanted again and again for new life. for new opportunities, to reach new people. That is your calling as well. I'm here just to briefly encourage you in that, to see yourselves as church planters in St. Bartholomew's right here, to see the wildernesses that you're in, to call for a feast in those wildernesses, to envision it. And then on the reverse side, I would love to have some of that encouragement from you as well for our own purposes, the mission that we're going into here. These are things that we're doing together. We are called to grow the kingdom of God together. This is how Christians love one another. This is how the body of Christ works together. If you're wondering at all how you can help and what we're doing, we have a couple of ways that you can do that. I have with me in the back, please see me afterwards, we have some cards for the vigil service that we're putting on in 4 weeks. We also have some magnets just to remind you to pray for an Anglican church in Buffalo. The two things that I would ask specifically for many of you, I know most of you live in the suburbs here, but I know that all of you probably have friends or family who live in the city of Buffalo. You know someone who maybe is not connecting well with the church, whether they identify with Jesus Christ or not. I would love to meet those people. I would love for you to put me in contact with those people. I've got my contact info and all of that, all of those materials back there. Please take my email address, phone number. I would love to be in contact. Please send those people my way. Second thing I would ask for, we're putting on this Easter Vigil service in 4 weeks, April 15th at 8 p.m. Down in the Allentown, Lower West Side area, One Symphony Circle. And we're doing this service kind of as putting out a business card. If you've never thought of it, here's what it could look like for an evangelical liturgical church to work together for mission in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to put it out there and just see what people think of it and see how this can start to gather some more people in this direction. Would you like to join us for that? Would you like to come down? I know St. Bartholomew's does not have a service on that Saturday. We would love to have you join us to support us. We need help in putting on the service. We need readers. We need greeters. We need ushers. We need people to set up and tear down. We need all kinds of things for that. If you have any artistic sense of painting or sewing, it's a very aesthetic service and uses a number of artistic elements. I would love to have your help in doing that. These are things that we can do together. There are many ways that we can work together to put our faith into action, as we are all church planters in a sense, as we all work together to realize the hope that has been put within us in Jesus Christ. So let me pray for all of you in closing here. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have not only saved our souls, but that you have called us to a deep mission. You have called us to a mission here in Western New York among people, among a wilderness that sometimes seems barren. But God, we envision a feast. We envision a feast of the kingdom of God in this area, and we pray for it. We pray with hope, and we pray that you will put us into more action in this mission area. Holy Spirit, empower us, give us perseverance, and give us vision for your people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father Brian. And the most effective way to build the kingdom, to spread the gospel, I don't know if you know this or not, is to plant churches. And that when you plant a church in a community, you will impact that community. And the thing about it is that people by nature like to have their church as close to their home as possible. As Anglicans, we really don't have that luxury anymore. We are far and few between in Western New York. And the city is a daunting challenge because the city is filled with emptying churches, with new people coming in who are not churched. And yet it is still a great mission field because there are many lapsed Roman Catholics. There are many Episcopalians who no longer are attending their church. And there are others from immigrant communities that are Anglican but have no place, focal point of worship. And so I believe that the vision that God has given Father Brian and his wife is ordained by him, and it is something that we need to be behind through prayer and through actual volunteer support. And the Easter Vigil is a service that many Anglican churches have. And the reason why we don't have it here at St. Bartholomew's is partly because of our emphasis of two main services on Good Friday and the fact that we've got three main services on Sunday. So to add an Easter Vigil, to add that to our already intense Holy Week might put me 6 feet under. No, just kidding. It is something to experience, and I do encourage you, if you are free, you can certainly meet him, Father Brian, at the end of the service if you want to help out in any way in that capacity. And also, if you know anybody in Buffalo looking for a church, you know, some of us travel distance to get to St. Bart's, we know that if a church is close, and Buffalo is, I mean, the density of the population is even greater than it is here in the town of Tonawanda. So thank you, Father Brian, for sharing, and we look forward to partnering with you in the coming months and years ahead to see a Anglican church in Buffalo that is Christ-centered, Bible-believing, and truly both Catholic and evangelical. Lord, as we